The title of my lesson this evening will be Knowing the Scriptures. And I want to ask for your prayers, and I want to begin with a scripture reading found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. If you want to read along with me, please turn there in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with the 10th verse. The Apostle Paul, writing this epistle to Timothy, he said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." And that's reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10 and finishing that chapter. I want to use this as an introduction. And this is certainly something that we teach in our churches. We believe very strongly that when God is gracious towards a person and saves their soul, that there are things that He expects of them. And certainly everyone that has been saved ought to put their light on the candlestick. They ought to unite with the Lord's church. And whenever that a person does that, whenever a person gets saved and joins the church, they come before the church and they give their testimony, and they don't, in the process of that, they don't only testify of having been born again, of having experienced the new birth, the salvation that Brother Curtis spoke about, the salvation that the Holy Spirit lets us know that we're saved. They're not only testifying that they have experienced that, but their baptism is a public profession that they're going to live accordingly, that they're going to strive to walk in newness of life. And there are things that we need to do in order to accomplish that. When we get saved, we are changed. If you weren't changed, then you didn't really get saved, because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we've been changed, and we are to live according to that. And so from that time forward, any such person should become a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. We should witness to others of the Lord's saving grace. If you hadn't done it before, then certainly at that point you ought to assemble with the saints of God. You ought to pray for other people. And really everybody that experiences that, everybody that gets saved and becomes a member of the Lord's church, ought to begin from that very moment. If it's something that you had not done before, Everybody from that moment certainly ought to begin an exhaustive study of the Holy Scriptures. They should continually seek to learn from them. They should become familiar with those things that the Lord has said in His written word. I believe that knowing the Scriptures is very important for every child of God. And I appreciate those who are here tonight, and I appreciate those who have been here throughout these lessons and have shown an interest in the Word of God. I believe that knowing as much as we can about God's Word is very important for every child of God. It's not just something that's necessary for preachers or for deacons or for those who teach Sunday school. And perhaps throughout our churches, perhaps that has not been stressed enough. Perhaps as pastors, we have not stressed the importance of that enough to those to whom we preach. Now, that's my introduction. Now, in the scriptures that I read from in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul spoke of the fact that Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures from his childhood. And that's a great time to start. It is beneficial to everyone to begin acquiring scriptural knowledge in their childhood. And, you know, that's not only a suggestion, that's biblical, that's scriptural. But as it is with children in all areas of education, they generally don't choose to take it up on their own. Now, some may, but many won't. And so they need responsible adults to lead them in that direction and to teach them. And if we look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find that Israel was told that the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of the Lord that they were to teach them to their children. And they were given this instruction: "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verses 6 and 7. Now, if you look in our church covenant, you will find that one of the things that we have agreed to do is to religiously educate our children. Now, we have that responsibility. Listen, if a child grows up in a true Christian's home and leaves without knowing anything about the Scriptures, then there's been parental failure. That's the only way I know how to put it. There has been parental failure. We have that responsibility as Christian parents. We also have that responsibility as a church to our young converts. The commission, Brother Curtis in his lesson spoke about how that in the commission that we were told to baptize those who get saved in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we are also told in that to teach those converts to observe all the things that the Lord has commanded. And so we are to make disciples, we are to baptize them, and then we are to teach them the ways of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the fifth verse, he spoke of calling to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in Timothy, but he said that it dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and also in his mother Eunice. And I believe that what we read about Timothy having an awareness and a knowledge of the scriptures, even in his childhood, that I believe that it would be very safe for us to assume that these godly ladies played a part in that. And this faith that the Apostle Paul saw in Timothy, he said he saw that in his grandmother and his mother before time. And so I believe that they helped him in that way. Now, knowing the scriptures is a tremendous benefit. You know, I only wish that I knew more about them. But there's tremendous benefit in knowing the scriptures. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 105, the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, this is something that's wasn't only true for the psalmist, but it's true for every child of God. As we make our journey through a world that's filled with darkness, God's word can illuminate our path. And that's what he said here, that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and it can shine in a way to illuminate our path and keep our feet headed in the right direction. But God's word can only accomplish this for those who take the time to know it, those who take the time to become familiar with it. And we find prior to making this statement, in the 97th verse of that psalm, we find where he said, "Oh, how I love thy law." Now he was talking about God's word. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, listen, if we are going to meditate upon the word of God in our minds, then we're going to have to make room for it. And, you know, you may have to just get rid of some other things, things that, you know, that just overtake you, things that sometimes we're just our worst enemies. We just put stuff in there that's not worth being in there. And if we're going to meditate in that way, we are going to have to get rid of some other things. So how do we obtain scriptural knowledge? Well, certainly it's good to hear the scripture. Certainly it's good to sit under preaching and teaching. It's good to go to Sunday school. It's good to go hear the pastor or other preachers preach. It's good to hear the Sunday school teachers teach, and so we obtain things through hearing. But listen, I believe for the bigger percentage of people, if we do not take the time and make a personal commitment to review the things that we have heard, to meditate upon them, to go over them we're not going to retain them very long. Before you know it, you won't remember what you heard a week or two ago if you don't take some time to commit it to your memory. Another thing that the scriptures tell us concerning how we obtain knowledge of the scriptures is through study. Study, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, given the fact that this epistle was written to Timothy, we know that these were instructions that were given to a preacher. This epistle was written by a preacher. It was written to a preacher. And we know that these were instructions given to a preacher to study God's word. And no preacher can preach God's word if he doesn't know it. We have to know it to preach it. And no preacher can know God's word if he doesn't study it. And so certainly these are very crucial instructions to those who have been called to preach. But I believe that they're good for every child of God. I believe to study the Word of God is not only good, as I said earlier, for preachers or for Sunday school teachers, but it's good for every child of God to have a good knowledge of the Word of God. You're going to need it. There's going to be times that you're going to need it. There's going to be times that you're going to need it personally. There's going to be times that you're going to need it for the benefit of someone else. And I'll try to mention a few of those things as we go on. Knowing God's word, as I said, is absolute necessity for those that God has called to preach, because God's word is what we have been instructed to preach. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the first two verses, Paul wrote and said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I've already mentioned that even though this was something that Paul wrote to a preacher, that this was instruction that was given to preachers to study God's word, that it holds true for all of God's people. Now, you can attempt to sidestep this if somebody is lazy, or if somebody wants to spend their time doing something else, if someone wants to use their time for entertainment or something like this, then certainly you can make an excuse and you can sidestep this by saying, I'll just listen to my Sunday school teacher each week, or I'll just listen to the pastor's sermon each week, and I'll obtain a good knowledge of the scriptures like that. Well, you will learn some things, but I just don't believe that you'll obtain a good knowledge of the scriptures without some personal study time and an individual commitment. I wrote here, if you don't make notes about what you heard, and go over it again or listen to an audio tape to remind you of what was said, most people will not retain knowledge of what they heard more than a few days. Now, if you don't believe this is true, put it to the test. If you don't believe that's a true statement, just let your pastor or your Sunday school teacher ask you to tell them what you heard them say 2 or 3 weeks ago? And you'll find out that this is true. Sometimes it's true even in the same day. Sometimes people say, man, I heard a good sermon this morning. What was it? I don't know, but it was good. I mean, that's true. I've heard people say that. I can't remember what it said, but I know it was good when he said it. It didn't stay with them very long. I believe that any good teacher is really concerned about their students' education. Any good teacher will do more or will desire more than just to pass the time and teach the curriculum and move them on. Any good teacher is concerned that their students are learning and will encourage them to take what they have been told and to look at it again and look at it again and study it and review it for themselves. That's how we learn. B.H. Carroll, I read a statement that he once made, and he said that he believed that one of the best teaching tools there is repetition. Repetition. Going over something over and over and over again until we get it in our minds. When you hear the Word of God, whether it's your pastor preaching, another preacher preaching, if it's your Sunday school teacher teaching the Word of God, you know, for the children of God, when we are hearing God's Word, we ought to be hearing things that are familiar to us. We ought to be, when the pastor references a certain chapter and a verse and quotes what it says, the children of God who are listening to that message ought to be able oftentimes to say, yes, I'm familiar with that. I've read that. I know that it's in there. I know that that's true. And we ought to be hearing things that we are familiar with. And if we have a knowledge of the Scriptures, then we will. We'll be hearing things that we are accustomed to. I remember Brother Keith Freeze, and I really miss him. I used to love to hear his lessons. But I remember years ago at the minister school, he taught a lesson about knowing your Bible. And I remember that one of the points he made in that was that he spoke about having heard people say things and say that they were in the Bible, but when he would look for them, he couldn't find them anywhere. And we ought to avoid that. As much as we can, we ought to avoid telling someone that the Bible says something if it doesn't say it.
That's right.
When you hear the statement, the Bible says, and you hear somebody get ready to tell you something, they say, the Bible says, and you hear something that you're not familiar with, it's a great idea to go look for it yourself and make sure it's there before you tell it to somebody else. You know, you don't have to feel as if you're questioning the integrity of the person that said it. It's just a smart thing to do because anybody is capable of making a mistake. And too often, someone has said that the Bible says such and such without doing that, without any personal research, without any personal knowledge of whether or not it really does say that. They just repeat it because they heard somebody else say it, and then there's even more people that believe it's in there. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm not making fun at all. I'm trying to make a point.
Amen.
I believe if I stood up here before a congregation of people, or anybody for that matter, and you got in, you were getting into the sermon, and you said, you know, in Proverbs 2 and 5, the wise man Solomon said, any dog that chases his own tail will surely end up dizzy. Before you know it, there'd be people that would believe that's in the Bible. You know, there'd be a backyard conversation going on. Some man would be telling his friend that his dog just chases his tail all the time. He'd say, well, you know what Solomon said about that? I mean, seriously, there have been many things that have got started just like that. And people believe that something is actually in there, and then they tell somebody else. And certainly as preachers, you know, we need to be careful. We need to take as much precaution as we can to make sure that if we say something's in the Bible, it ought to be in there.
Amen.
And so we need to be careful. But listen, if you search the scriptures yourself, you know, you're going to know whether it was actually there or not. And we have an example of that in the scriptures in the 17th chapter of Acts. In verses 10 and 11, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, whose coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so there's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, we should do that. I believe that we should be able to back up our testimony of salvation by the scriptures. If you're witnessing to someone whose hope of salvation is based upon their own works or upon having been baptized, when you share your experience with that person and speak to them about the necessity of the new birth, don't expect them to just take you at your word. Be able to offer proof. And listen, there's plenty of it in there. There's plenty of it in there. If you're going to tell someone that if you're going to tell somebody that they are in error concerning something they believe, then you have taken on yourself the responsibility to be able to tell them why. Don't expect to convince somebody that they're wrong about something if they believe that you're just giving them nothing but your opinion. Be able to back the things we say. We need to be able to give a scriptural explanation as to why we believe what we believe. Why we believe what we do concerning salvation, why we believe what we do about baptism, why we believe what we do about the church, why we believe what we believe about the eternal security of the believer, why we believe what we do about the end of time. And you know, people may not embrace it, and they may not believe it, but you shared with them God's word.
Amen.
God's word. And if they reject it, then they're rejecting him. And so, you know, the things that we believe, if you look at the summary that we have up here of the things that we believe, I mean, the things that we believe as missionary Baptists, our doctrines are based upon the scriptures. They're not based upon our own thoughts. They're based upon the scriptures, and we need to be able, as those who represent the Lord to be able to explain to people why that we believe the things that we do. If you lack knowledge or wisdom, get help. If you need to talk to your pastor, if you need to talk to someone that you have confidence in, if you feel like you need to do that, then do it. If you feel like you need to talk to someone to help them, for them to help you to understand, and if they can't help you, then maybe someone can. If you feel like you need to talk to someone, do it. Paul wrote this to Timothy, in also in 2 Timothy 2 and 2. He said, "In the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." But I'll tell you who can really help you. Talk to God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's a great teacher, and He can make you to understand things. There's no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. In James chapter 1, verse 5, He said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Learning what the Scriptures say requires reading. Learning what they mean requires prayer and the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Learning the Scriptures, knowing the Scriptures, have something in common with anything that one may attempt to learn. It requires time. It requires time. If you study the Scriptures an hour per day, you're going to get more than if you study a minute a day. It really becomes a question of priority, because to spend time engaged in the study of God's Word means that you oftentimes must choose not to spend that time involved with something else. Electronics are killing us. I mean, we've got too many things that consume our time. But really, this shouldn't be a problem, really, should it? Really shouldn't be, because there should be a great desire in the heart of every child of God to know His Word. That should be there. It should mean more to us than things that we waste our time on. But obviously the devil will do the best he can to distract us. I believe that if someone grows up in a Missionary Baptist Church, and they leave not knowing anything about the Scriptures, something bad happened.
Amen.
Something happened that shouldn't have happened. Having knowledge of the Scriptures is not just personally advantageous, it also equips us to help others. I'll give you an example in the 8th chapter of Acts. We read about the account of the Ethiopian eunuch. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was not saved. He was sitting in the chariot reading the Scriptures. He was reading the writings of Isaiah. He was reading. The place of the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." This man had a dilemma, didn't he? Brother Curtis mentioned unregenerated people not really being able to have a spiritual understanding of things. This man had a problem. He didn't understand what Isaiah was talking about. He didn't understand who Isaiah was talking about. Was he talking about himself? Was he talking about another man? He had already admitted to Philip that he didn't understand what he was reading, that he needed guidance and he needed help. And thank God there was somebody that knew the Scriptures.
Amen.
What a great blessing it became to this man that the Lord sent someone to him that knew the Scriptures, that knew that Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus. Philip took the same Scriptures and he preached Jesus to that man and he got saved. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in verses 14 and 15, we find something that is very, very beneficial to us in knowing the Scriptures, something that that will help us to avoid. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And a personal knowledge of the Scriptures will help you to avoid such pitfalls.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're subject, otherwise you are prey to great error. In closing, the lesson in Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. We have a great example of that. It says, then come unto him, that's unto Jesus, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leaves his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? Man, people can ask some stupid things, can't they? For the seven had her to wife. But Jesus didn't, he didn't just tell them that they were stupid. He said, Jesus answering said unto them, do ye therefore not err? Why? What was their problem? They didn't know the Scriptures. Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. I'd like to recommend to you the greatest book that there's ever been, and it can bless you, striving to learn it can bless you in ways that nothing else can. It's better than any novel that's ever been written. It's better than any biography that's ever been written. There's better things in here than you'll find in any literature anywhere. And it's worth spending time with and learning. And we can benefit the world by knowing the things of God. I appreciate your attention. I want to again say that I am thankful for the Bible study that we have had this year. I'm thankful for every one of the brethren that came and brought a lesson. If you want to have disc, we can provide that. These lessons will be put on our website at fmmbc.org. You'll be able to pull them up there. And I encourage you to go over them again, listen to them again, and study them and see what you can find in there that's helpful.